Go. And we are live again. Two podcasts in 2 days. Yesterday, we spoke to James Flynn of Coso AI on all things social media, artificial intelligence, and being a startup in Ireland. Today is more of the business as usual for Goose, where we're going to be talking gadgets, phones, technology in the consumer market. And I've got our latest goose, our gooseling, our geese child. I don't really know.
Baby, yes.
Alex, introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Alex. I've been writing for Goose, like what, 3 years is it now, nearly? Mostly in kind of the gaming space. I've been slacking lately because I've been moving house, which is why the room behind me is completely blank at the moment. But I'm going to be picking things up. We've big things coming in 2024. Come on, Nintendo, just drop something. But for now, we're going to go over our CES 2024 highlights and look at what Samsung gave us in Unpacked yesterday.
Yeah, it's actually interesting that you mentioned the Nintendo Switch because it actually reminds me of a joke I saw the other day. It's like, how many Nintendo gamers does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
No idea. They're too busy with the Switch. There we go. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk CES 2024, the first big tech event of the year. I think we've both, basically what we've done here is we both picked out 5 products each. There might be some overlap, so we're going to actually just dive straight in and go one for one and see what we got. So Alex, what is the first product that you picked out?
The first thing that kind of jumped out to me was something that I don't really get as a product. I don't know why anyone would choose to make this, let alone buy it. It was the Click keyboard for iPhones. What it essentially is,
positive vibes, right?
I know, just straight out, just throwing hands at tech I don't get. It basically is a case for your iPhone. I don't know how much protection the case offers, but that's not the function. It basically extends the bottom of the phone down a little bit so that you have a physical keyboard, like it was a BlackBerry from 2011. You know, I was under the impression that we left physical keyboards on phones in the past, a decade ago.
Yeah.
But apparently this is a thing people want. It's been on so many highlight lists. I don't understand why.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like when they redropped, was it the Nokia 3210 or 3310 or one of those?
3310, yeah.
3310, iconic phone. Oh, and essentially it was re-released in 4 colors as a, buy this for the festival so you can be retro, funky, and who fucking cares? Yeah. If we're going to be honest.
Like, okay, it was it only kind of 70 or 80 quid? It was not a break the bank kind of phone. I think they packaged it, as they said. Yeah, it was, here, if you're going to EP, buy this.
Yeah.
But it flopped. Nobody did buy it.
So terrible. I was still working in the phone shops at that stage. I think we sold like 3 of them. Mm-hmm. And I think I bought one of them because, Jesus, this is how far back we're going. It's like back in the day, Goose, myself, Dean, and Martin got involved in the Today FM Shave or Die campaign. But instead of shaving or dying, what we did was we gave up our smartphones. And every week when different triggers were, and do you know what? We got so close every week. It was the most frustrating thing ever because you get to day 6, it's like, get my phone back tomorrow. And then someone would come in and go, that's 20 quid. Now, there you go. You're on your bricks now for another week. And you're like, oh. So we ended up going to like an award show up in Dublin, like the Irish Blog Awards. We came runners up in that. Still not bitter about it or anything.
No, no.
But we were with the fashion bloggers, the beauty bloggers, the tech guys. You had, you know, all of the different spectrums of the blogging community, and you had us as nominees for a tech award going around with, like, Jesus, I think Dean's phone had one of the little pull-out antennas, and Martin was like one of the, like, the original Sharp flip phones. Do you remember that one from, like, Jesus, was it 98, 99 even at that stage? Like, shocking stuff, but look, it was great crack. We raised a bit of money for charity on the way through, but yeah, buttons on phones are a long, long time dead. So whoever made the Click keyboard for the iPhone, you know, it's 2024, cop on.
Yeah, get over yourself.
My first product that I pulled out was, it was something interesting because it's something I've never really seen before. It's called the Apollo Wearable. It's available, it's like $280 seems to be the price point that I'm seeing across the internet. And it's a wearable. So, you know, I'm wearing my Huawei Band now, but instead of it being more of a fitness tracker, it is more like of a mental health kind of tracking tool. So what it does is it'll send like light vibrations to you, And the idea there is that it's supposed to like alleviate stress, reduce anxiety, help with your blood pressure, or if you have trouble sleeping, that those kind of very small light vibrations will kind of calm you down. Do you know, it's something very different. It's gone through clinical trials, and by all accounts, it works. And to be honest, that's it's a field that I'm very interested in at the moment, because I've started up another project, which I don't know. It's probably backwards according to this.
Yeah.
But it's mantalk.ie. And essentially, the goal there is not to shameless plug or anything, but essentially, it's just a website that has resources for mental health services, and it has an inbox that deletes on the hour every hour. So if anybody has, you know, stuff that they need to get off their chest, they can write it in, dump it onto the internet, and know that it's dead forever. So seeing a tracker that is there to help soothe people, it goes to show that this is something that people are becoming more aware of, are aware of, and you know, if technology can help with that kind of those kind of issues and problems, you know, I think it's a great thing. Just my only complaint is, one, it's ugly as hell, and two, I think at $280, it's a bit steep. If you could bring that to like a sub 100 euro kind of price point, I think you're onto something. But you know, this is early adoption technology, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that, you know, if you look at, and we'll get onto it later with what Samsung have shown off in terms of their health tracking and their sleep tracking, you know, there's every kind of health metric out there available on your phone at the touch of a button, or, yeah, you know, as we've decided now, screen. You know, if you want to know how well you slept, what your kind of diet is like, what your body composition is, what your blood oxygen is, Apple, you know, it's there. But you know, the resource to kind of give yourself a mental health check is still very much in the pen and paper stage. So, yeah, you know, as you're saying, this thing has gone through clinical trials. It all looks really promising. I think, you know, clinical trials are, you know, all well and good. But once it gets into the real world, if we can get some of the kind of a critical mass of adoption, you know, hopefully that's going to start a revolution.
I would be hoping, like, do you know what, a product like that, I think what I find really interesting about these type of events, I think these kind of products go more show proof of concept, and they're looking for like a brand like a Huawei, like a Fitbit, to buy them up to integrate that into their overall kind of product. I think at a guess, that's the route that this is going to take, that you're going to have a Fitbit or similar brand who'll go, we like that, you own the software, mouse, and let's incorporate it into our own kind of smart gear as is.
Yeah.
I think the kind of smart wearables are really something that, because I have another one on my list. give me your second one.
Yeah, so my second one, again, funny you mentioned proof of concept. So this is another bit of tech that I still am not fully on board with. Not that I don't think it's cool, because it's very cool. I love it. But again, it's got a few really cool bits of tech built into it. It's the LG M4 TV. Now what this is, LG, absolute top tier in the TV game, but what this is, it's a transparent TV.
I saw this. Yes,
that is it. For the life of me, I can't think of a single use case where this would be something you're like, I need this in my house, apart from, you know, I want to have a TV, but I also want, you know, a digital fish tank or something. I don't know.
Do you know,
I think that's a really cool piece of tech.
Yes, I'm going to assume super expensive. Do you know what I think it's kind of cool? It's like, you know, maybe it's a fashion thing, because I've definitely seen a lot of people who are, you know, making games rooms or something, that you've kind of got that concave area. So it's almost like hide the screen. It doesn't look like a screen mounted to the wall. You can make it look like a piece of art. Or it's, do you know what it is? It's for rich people. For rich people. Yeah. That it's like, here is something that looks like art when it's not my TV.
But something that I really hope filters down to us scrubs is another bit of tech that it has in it, is it's got a wireless media controller, essentially. So what it is you can, the idea of this TV, as long as it's connected to power, you can put it literally anywhere. So what you plug your TV box, your PlayStation, your Xbox, your PC into the media center. Mm-hmm. And that is a wireless connection to the TV. So your TV can be 30 meters away from this box. And I think that is cool, because it just frees up a huge amount of space, I think. Because again, being someone who's trying to move into a house and find out where things are going to live and where things are going to go, if I had that freedom to have essentially a wireless TV and put all the tech away in a drawer somewhere, that I'm not going to have to look at it.
Dangling all around the
exactly, yeah. It just looks tidy. It looks neat. I think that's really cool. I think that's, again, if it's a proof of concept, I hope that really shakes down into what everyone else is doing, because I think that's something I'd really love to see kind of 2 or 3 years down the line in more affordable TVs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I actually agree with that, because I do think that kind of the wall-mounted TV is kind of more standard nowadays. Or it's become, it's definitely like something I've seen a lot of. And the biggest problem is hiding the ugly ass wires. So it's like, if you have this unit where you can hide everything and then just go about your business, yeah, I'm all in. But do we have a price point, or is this very much concept product right now?
I think I can't remember off the top of my head. I think I was looking around something like 1400 quid, which isn't like, for a big LG TV, that's not outrageous.
That's in the sweet spot, like, yeah, for a TV of that size, for, especially from like LG.
Yeah. It is expensive, and let's be honest, the sound probably isn't there either. You know what? It's not the worst.
No, if you want something that's kind of artistic and you can hide your wires, yeah, I can see the value. Mm-hmm. My next product is my next wearable. It's about $240, $250. A lot of these prices, because the event was in Vegas, most of the pricing is coming through in dollars rather than euros. But it's called the EV Ring. Wearables, especially like the smart jewelry, it's been ugly as hell the whole time. Anytime I've seen products that were like specialized for the elderly, for falling or anything, you know they're wearing. Do you know what I mean? It's not something that you go, ooh, that's a piece of jewelry that just happens to be smart.
Yeah.
It's an ugly, ugly, ugly piece of equipment that they're trying to wrap up in a nice chain or something and go, it's jewelry. So the EV Ring is like, it's a real slick, simple, it's a ring for, and it's specifically for women. So it's a really nice piece of jewelry. You get, it's like, comes in silver, comes in gold, probably rhodium plated or something like that. That information isn't out there yet, but it's on pre-orders now, which is really cool. Essentially, it does like, attracts ovulation, attracts periods, attracts, you know, all the usual health stuff as well, but it's very much driven for the female market, and it comes with a paired app. So anybody who, you know, is trying to keep, you know, honestly, these are things that me and you aren't going to really ever really yeah, understand.
Only by osmosis will we understand this stuff. Like, yeah, we have, you know, yeah. But it's, like, yeah, it's important. It's representation for women in the tech space. And I think it's probably something that's been overlooked. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, I know that pretty much every app out there, whether it's Apple or Samsung or Google, has like a period tracking piece of software in it. But my understanding is it's a very manual process. You have to go in and kind of almost like a diary, and then it uses the information that you've fed it to give you predictions like, oh, your period's in 2 days. You're like, is it though?
Is it?
But this ring sounds like it's going to be more, because it's actually on you, it's probably going to have a much more accurate way of
little sensors. So it's basically like a spiral that doesn't close on one side. So it's actually really pretty. What I'll do is I think over the next few days, I'll be pulling all these products that we're talking about and put them in our takeaway list. So mm-hmm, there will be pictures and links out to all of these. For me, you know, at a 240 price point, it's not a million miles away from a ring that a lot of people would buy. And it, as I said, the thing for me is that it actually looks like a nice piece of jewelry. So
exactly,
if you are wearing it, it's not going to stand out like a giant red fucking flag of,
yeah,
what is that. But yeah, it's slick, it's nice, it is very much focused on a specific market. And I just think, you know, of all the things that I've seen, like, you're gonna, at these events, it's always laptops, it's always phones, it's always power banks. So seeing something that kind of fits a very specific niche and actually has a goal, I guess, is for me is really cool to see. That's, you know, that's something that I was like, yeah, you're doing something.
Yeah. My next piece is, again, something, a bit of tech aimed at women. And I think this is really, I'm really downplaying a lot of this tech that I'm talking about, but I do think it's really cool. Apart from
like, you okay? Do you need a hug over the internet? Bring it.
But this is, it's a Garmin heart rate monitor or blood oxygen monitor. And what it essentially is, it's targeted to women. It's just, so you see kind of lads and athletes with the kind of the chest strap with the heart rate monitor on it, if they're, you know, too good for a watch or whatever. This is literally just a little bit of kit that clips onto the bottom of a sports bra.
Nice.
Like, I feel like that's, you know, the tech equivalent, the tracking equivalent of putting pockets in a dress. Like, it's something that it seems so obvious. And I feel like this is probably how women feel with tech all the time. It's like, yeah, that's so obvious. Why didn't you do that before? But why didn't they do it before? That's genius.
Because most technology is made by middle-aged white dudes.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah. It's called a spade spade here. But no, like, yep. It is. It's brilliant to see, even like, you know, I went to a lot of events last year and seeing how the shift and just how, you know, it shouldn't have to be a thing, but for now it does. Like, it's a shame that it has to be a thing, but seeing something like that, again, rather than here's another strap to add to what you're already wearing, like you see all the rugby, you see all of the rugby players wearing essentially the boob tube trackers. Mm-hmm. So there was a football player, I saw something recently, and the football player had to go into the crowd to get his jersey back because the tracker was still in it, and it was like, you know, he threw the jersey into the fence, was like, give it to a kid or whatever. It was like, actually, I need that. I'm going to need to take the thing out of that before you have it. So, again, as you said, a clip-on piece. Who is it made by, do you remember?
Garmin,
you said.
Yeah, so, again, they're S-tier in terms of their fitness tracking and everything. So, you know, it's going to be a really solid, well-made, good piece of kit. And the fact that it's just convenient to wear now.
Yeah, and do you know what? Garmin are normally, in the price point, they're normally, you know, they hit that sweet spot. It's like...
Yeah.
It makes tech accessible without being excessive.
I think it was looking around kind of $90 to $110, like
perfect
grand.
That's something I like about Garmin. It's like, it's accessible pricing but not excessive. So I do appreciate that. I have three more products left, but my third one is, do you know what? This one's interesting, especially given like the conversation I had yesterday, given, I guess, what I do for a job when I'm not involved. Ghost. There is this whole idea of people screaming, going, my phone's listening to me. Officially, no. Unofficially, yes. It's like, is it actually listening to you directly? No. But the amount of information that we all give up willingly without even paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
With cookies, because of pixels, because of just... website tracking that is there, like the data knows us better than we know ourselves. So there is this new phone that's called Punkt, PUNKT, the MC02, and it comes with Apostrophe OS. Essentially, it is a privacy phone. It keeps your data private. It's got a 6.7 inch display, 128 gig of storage, and you can put an SD card into it. It actually comes with its own apps, so you're not going to use like the Gmail app, you're not using the Google Calendar. It's all its own housing of apps that are completely encrypted, that aren't tracked. There's none of that security risk or information given up that we all do naturally. Like, I'm like, you know, we could be chatting on WhatsApp, like as the Goose team. Actually, we chat to each other on Signal.
I was just gonna say, yeah, Marty made the executive decision to move us all to Signal.
Yep.
Purely for privacy reasons, and you know.
Yeah. And this OS is based on Graphene OS as well. So like, you can use your own apps, but it comes with that added layer of protection, and it comes with its own inbuilt VPN so like, as a phone, the whole idea is that you have total and absolute control over your data. And it's not actually ugly either, because I remember seeing a phone that did something similar a few years ago. I think it was like the Simple Phone or something like that, but it was ugly as hell. I guess maybe we're lucky that nowadays all the phones are essentially black bricks with maybe a little bit of you know, tempered glass or a little chrome piece. But it is nice, and at $750, it is in that kind of, you know, for the spec sheet that's there for a 5G smartphone with 128 gigs of storage with a decent sized screen. You know, what are you paying for a phone? Now, personally, at that price, I'm going buying a OnePlus or the Google Pixel, although the Google Pixel 7 was a bitter letdown in my opinion, given that I've used the last five versions of the Google Pixel. I'm very much a Google Pixel, fine. But like after the 7, I'm kind of like, might be time to change. And we will get onto that when we come to the Samsung portion of the evening. So that was my third product. What else have you got for me, Alex?
So I have another wearable. This seems to be just an ongoing theme. It's the X-Real AR glasses. So there's a lot of buzz right now about that Apple Vision Plus, Pro, whatever, their VR, AR headset.
And the Ray-Bans.
Meld thing. And of course, there's the Meta Ray-Bans, which are everywhere, although I'm yet to see a real person wearing them. What these are essentially is sort of somewhere between the Apple Vision Pro and, remember, Google Glass from about 10, 15 years ago. They're an AR pair of glasses that you put on and has the full kind of almost a browser or a desktop in front of you. Now, you have to plug them into your phone via USB-C, but they essentially are an AR-enabled piece of tech that you can just use your hands to... They do like the pinch click thing to interact with. I think it's really cool. Again, if this is just proof of concept and we get, you know, a cheaper pair of AR sunglasses that people might not wear out and about initially.
Yeah.
But if you can have something, say, if you're, you know, in design or if you're in a home office or something like that, I think it just, it's something that's not in the high wall garden of the Apple ecosystem that is accessible to the majority of people. And of course, because it's not Apple, it's not going to cost $4,000. I think they're looking maybe €600 or €700 for these. Yeah. But, you know, again, if they're proof of concept and if that concept proves to be popular and effective, could be a winner.
Yeah, that would be ideal. To be honest, that kind of technology is something that has been knocking around for so, so long. I remember like when I was in college, so I did product design in college. So we were seeing like, you know, when you were doing research or whatever, you'd actually see concepts. I think like this kind of idea has been floating around for years, but I think it was like after like Iron Man, where it became like, ooh, wouldn't it be cool to just go boom, 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 kind of quick prototype and let's pull it all around. And all it takes is like, boom, screen in here and then follow your hand motions. Or if anybody has watched Echo, the Marvel series recently, and the contact lens that had the ASL, like, you know, that kind of augmented reality crossing virtual reality in some wearable tech that is, I think the thing for me about wearable tech that has really let the side down for the last 10 years is, because it's the same with the EV ring, it was the same with the Apollo strap, 90% of the time they're ugly.
Yeah.
And if you're going to wear something that's supposed to be fashion tech, you know, pay attention to the fashion side.
Yeah, make it fashionable.
Yeah, not just the fashion side. It's like, ooh, look at all this cool tech. I ain't going outside wearing that. What do you want about?
No. Yeah, like these, like I mentioned Google Glass, and God, if anybody remembers that, it was, you could barely call them a pair of glasses. It was just a metal strap that went around your face.
Yeah.
Almost like Geordi LaForge from Star Trek, but not quite even that cool. But these actually look like regular ass sunglasses. Okay, they look like a cheap pair of sunglasses, but the tech in them is pretty cool. Yeah. If it becomes mass market viable,
I think the Meta approach of partnering with an actual fashion brand like Meta,
yeah, makes
perfect sense. It's something I've never understood about the smartwatch industry. It's like you've actually got some really, you know, historic good brands integrate with what's already done, and actually let's make something that is also functional and fashionable at the same time. So, yeah. And actually, it's a nice segue onto my Catalyst dog collar AirTag.
Yes.
Like, it's become an obvious thing over the last couple of years that people put AirTags on their puppies because dogs like to run away, or cats like to run away. It's what they do. You know, they get freedom. It's like, oh, outside, let's go.
I don't care that I live here rent-free and I'm fed every hour on the hour. I need freedom.
It's like the up thing of, ooh, squirrel, let's go. And like this is a product that's really cool. It's essentially, it's a standard collar for a dog that has a housing for an AirTag. So it keeps it protected, it keeps it safe, it keeps it dry, and pairs up with your app on the phone. It's $25. And like, you're already getting a nice looking dog tag.
Yeah.
You're getting a collar for your dog that if it gets out, it's tracked, it's monitored. It's about the same price as a standard dog collar, a couple euro more expensive, but for the sake of about a fiver, for sake of maybe up to a tenner of a difference, it's worth it, because what you're probably doing most of the time is you're buying the collar, you're going to get your air tag, and you're just going to hang it off the dog. And meh. Whereas it's really nice. It was really nice. So again, that is going to be one of my highlighted products in the article that we put out at the end of the week. The Catalyst Dog Collar for AirTag, $25. Like, simple, effective, straight to the point. I've only got one more product left. I think what you've got one, maybe two.
One more.
You've got one more. What have you got?
I have the. I've no idea how this is pronounced. It's spelled Igloo. It's probably meant to be pronounced Igloo or Igloo. It is a smart home brewing kit.
Oh, Martin is at home right now going, you have my attention.
Exactly. It's the crying shame that he's not actually here.
It's a little hat tip to the big man.
Hi, boss. What it is essentially they have Nespresso-fied the brewing process.
Okay. You all have my attention. Go
Marty on. Has been big on Instagram about his brewing journey and how he had that self-heating, self-regulating brewing kit and everything. This just takes it one step further. So this is almost a countertop solution. It is, the temperature regulated, everything. And again, you just get pods. It's a similar to, I guess, the pinter thing that is in the UK. You get pods in the post or whatever, and it literally will send you a notification on your phone saying, hey, I need hops, or more water, please. Yeast time now. And you literally just do what it says. Pop it in. It keeps it cold for you, or it heats it up to whatever temperature it needs to be at. Sits there, and it has a tap already on it. So it's a single unit. You're not bottling anything. You're not putting it. It's literally, it's a mini keg of beer that you make in, I think, 2 weeks, they say. Obviously, it's all, semi-prepared as it gets to you in the post or whatever. But for someone who might want to get into brewing, or someone who literally just has lots of beer with their mates, it's something to talk about. Hey, look, I have a cool beer thing.
Yeah, I was about to say it. I was someone like Martin, who would now call himself a connoisseur of the beer brewing industry. I think he'd be looking at that going, no, don't. What is wrong with you? You do it all by yourself. Whereas someone like me or you, who'd be like, I don't really know where to start. And in the nicest sense, I don't have the same passion. However, would I like to make my own booze and sit there in front of the lads being like, huzzah, would you like to drink my beer?
Yeah.
You're a six-pack of Tuborg?
Yeah, I just think it's so cool. Again, it's making it... I think their sort of selling... Their line is, if you can brew a coffee at home, you can make beer at home.
Yeah.
And I can make coffee at home.
I can't.
Okay, maybe you need the big picture, the big text book with pictures.
Well, in my defense, I am an energy drink man.
Fair enough.
I hit about four of them a day. This whole thing is completely manufactured. I'm really sleepy all of the time until I'm hyperloaded with caffeine. It's like, let's go again. So yeah, something like that where it's like, make some beer. Yay. Yep.
Yeah. There you go. Two weeks. Fresh beer.
Pricing on that?
I think it's in and around 400 quid.
Do you know what? That's not bad.
Yeah. Not for something that, how much beer are you going to drink in 2 weeks?
Drink responsibly, kids. Get that caveat.
How much beer are you going to responsibly drink in 2 weeks? How often are you going to do that?
It's probably one of those things. It's novelty. You'll use it 3-4 times. Or if you have a party and a few lads are coming over, you'll throw it on then just to, the conversation piece.
Yeah,
I find that with the VR headsets or whatever, you'll spend the 400-500 euro. You'll use it 3 or 4 times, and then it stays on a shelf until people come over. It's like, look at my cool toy.
You say that I have been flat out on Beat Saber nearly. Yeah, I don't want to look at my time count on that game since I got the PSVR2. It's the best. I love it. Maybe that's my excuse for getting the beer thing. I am that person who will just use it every single day.
Yeah, I'm like that with my 3D printer. I bought the Creality Ender 3 a year and a half ago. I love it. I've broken it multiple times. So I'm waiting on some new parts again before I can use it again. But that's definitely something I'll get into another day. I think maybe that's a chat for myself and Martin to do someday, is beer versus printing. Which hobbies sucks less.
Yeah, which is the deeper rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, his rabbit hole, I'd say, is worse. But I have only one more product left, and it is going to be one of those. It's one of the ones from CES that I've seen all over the internet, and the more I see it, the less I understand it. Even though it's been super popular, they've already sold out their first batch of pre-orders. They're releasing a second batch of pre-orders. It's called the Rabbit R1 AI device. It is essentially a personal assistant in your pocket, which I kind of assumed we already had in the form of Siri and Bixby and every other goddamn voice recognition software that's in any other phone. This costs $200. And in the video that I've seen doing the rounds on the internet, it doesn't work. The guy's on the stage. They have it over his shoulder. He's like, okay, it'll load any second now. And then they just went, pan to the guy, and he just started clicking the screen.
Well, that's not a great sales pitch.
It's not a great sales pitch, but for some reason, I personally don't understand it. Like, the tagline is, it swaps out apps for an operating system that can learn how to use the apps all by itself.
Huh. I don't know. I'm not convinced.
No, I've already got the app on my phone. Leave me be.
Yeah, if I say to my phone, I'm not going to say the way.
No,
phrase.
Because
if I say to it, oh, play Thin Lizzy on Spotify, it will do that. If I say turn on the lights, it will do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have a little orange box in my pocket. No, but I already have another box of pocket. Like, I only have two pockets.
But I also invested in the secret wallets because it's smaller and hides all the stuff.
Same.
So why am I going to buy another box to carry with me that all when my phone already does the job? I personally don't understand it. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who'll be like, you're wrong and here's why. That's what the comment section's for. Come and tell me why I'm wrong. I am all ears. I'm willing to be wrong on this one. If there is a benefit that I don't understand or have not copped yet, scream at me down the internet, please. Yeah.
I want to be wrong about this.
I actually want to be wrong about it because it sounds like something that. Why are they on the second batch of pre-orders? Maybe I'm the one that's not getting it.
Yeah.
But look, all in all, CES, we've picked out our top 10 products. And to be fair, having looked online and seen different, you know, news outlets, seen different groups, everybody is picking different stuff. So that's what I love about these type of roadshow events where, you know, our interest, even then, we picked out some stuff. I think we only had one overlap. Do you know, everybody has a different opinion. Everybody, when it comes to technology, everybody's looking for something different. So seeing what is coming down the line is really, really cool. And that is going to segue me straight over to the beast that was announced last night. Samsung Unpacked. Samsung no longer do the road shows. They have Apple-ified themselves. They do their own show. It's called Samsung Unpacked. Alex, what did they release last night and why the hell did they do it?
They released three of the least inspiring phone designs they have released recently. I swear to God, if you were to put what is now the S24, S24 Plus, and S24 Ultra against the S23, S23 Plus, and S23 Ultra, I would be hard pushed to tell the difference at a glance. They look exactly the same. However, what's inside, as we all learn as little kids, it's what's on the inside that counts. What they were really, really, really pushing last night was this new Samsung AI. So I don't know how much of what they're doing is their own AI and how much of it is in their partnership with Google. So they had Hiroshi Lockheimer on to talk about Google Gemini, which is Google's multimodal AI. And some of the stuff they're showing off is really cool. Just before we get into the inside, the outside, phones look almost exactly the same. They've gone full iPhone now. They have, you know, the aluminium borders around the phone. They're completely flat now, flat front, flat back.
It's just the camera layout that's slightly different year on year.
They have three in a line. The Ultra has a fourth one to the side.
And they're slightly raised just for the purpose of being, you know, this is something, Joe, you know, I'd love for somebody to come out with a phone that it's designed with the case, because Samsung, what they're doing there, and it's the same thing that Apple have done, it's the same thing that loads of the manufacturers have done, even Google included, that the camera layout is ever so slightly lifted off of the base, and that means that when you wrap your cover around it, it's then a nice smooth surface. Yeah. How about we just, you know, maybe build that protection in as a standard? That would be nice.
I'm often given weird looks by people whenever they tell me they have a new phone, because I always, you know, take it, put it down flat on the table, and kind of poke the corner just to see how much it actually rocks back and forth.
Yeah,
design wise,
nothing inspiring. They are pretty. They're very pretty.
Now, on the Ultra
or S23, they're not going to be a million miles away from the S22 or S23, but they are pretty.
They are good looking phones. Yeah, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's not a lot broken about these. You know, apart from that, the only external change really is on, I think it's just the Ultra. It could be the other kind of lower end ones as well. They've now dropped Gorilla Glass and they've upgraded to Gorilla Armor. So it's just more scratch resistant, shatter resistant Gorilla Glass. It's just better kind of protection for your phone built in. That's all it really is. But the AI stuff is really cool. Inexplicably, Bixby is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows why he's still here? Google and Alexa surpassed him pretty much from day one. We're past having a dedicated Bixby button like the S8 had. But yeah, still there. So the most impressive bit of tech they have is, for me, they have this multimodal AI with Google Gemini, which has kind of circle to search, they call it.
Okay.
So if you're in your gallery, or if you're on YouTube, or if you're on Instagram and you see something that you want to, you know, what's this food or where is this street or whatever, you can long press your home button or swipe up if you're using swipe controls, as you would to access Google Assistant. That will bring up a little overlay, so you don't leave the app at all when you're searching, which is cool. So you're not kind of flicking between windows, and you will literally with your finger circle the thing you want to search, and that will search it for you. On the face of it, it sounds like an upgraded version of Google Lens, which I use almost on the daily. I think it's a really cool piece of tech, and for them to upgrade it like that, I think is great. But they have taken it one step further and made it multimodal. And for anyone who doesn't know, multimodal AI basically is an AI model that will take multiple input formats. So it can search with picture and video, or picture and text, or picture and sound, or sound and video, or sound and text, or whatever. So you can circle a picture, search it, and say, why is this so popular, or what brand is this? You can give it a visual input and a verbal input. So if you're searching, you know, what is this drink, if you search for the drink, it will show up like, this is what the drink is and this is what it looks like. And you say, why is this popular? It will give you why is
whatever
is so popular. And I think that's really cool. That's a really cool, you know, because I'm the kind of person who will get distracted by something like that and be like, I want to just check that out, and then go back into the app and forget what I was doing. But if I don't have to leave the app, it's kind of like not going through a door when you walk into a room and you forget why you're there. I get that, but with apps on my phone. So if I don't have to leave the room, essentially, and just search in the app, I just think it's really cool. And it will work in your messages as well. So if you highlight text, they showed off, you know, someone was coming to dinner or something like that, or coming to visit, and they said, oh, what's that restaurant in London that will do like a whole roast chicken with this particular sauce? You can highlight that text and search it, and it will give you that exact.
It's 6:15 in the evening. Like, I'm hungry. You didn't need to be talking about. You didn't need to be talking about no roast chicken right about.
Yeah, I probably should have gone with the thrift shop example that they also showed.
Like, do you want to buy some socks?
Yeah.
You know what? Martin actually has an article up about the Samsung launches Galaxy S24 series. So that is available right now on goose.ie. It'll be on the homepage, and if not, you know, just search Samsung or search Martin. It's there. The one that stood out for me in terms of the AI was the communication. As Martin says himself, his missus is German, and his German is mediocre until he's wasted. And then the man is fluent. So it's a confidence. Oh, yeah. So it's a confidence thing. But I think what was fascinating there is he was saying the AI is less of a sentient AI and more of like an NLP, like a live translation. This seems really cool because I did spend a bit of time last year in Portugal. I was there for a few months. And while I was learning the language and everything like that, I can read a menu. But when people start speaking, it's too fast and I got nothing. So where this was really cool, it can basically translate a conversation in real time, including a phone call. So so it takes this conversation and it'll basically spit it out to you in your native language without an intermediary, without an extra step. It's really cool because it's like essentially kind of it's like Bard plus.
Yeah.
So it's like Google Translate, Bard built into the phone. And what was fascinating is from what Martin was saying, it seems to understand the kind of nuances of colloquialisms and kind of the tone and humor that people say. Because, like, I can say a line to you, you know, yort. You have no idea what that means. It's a word in Limerick. Do you know? That kind
of through rubber bandits and cultural osmosis.
Yeah.
Yort has made it up to Dublin. Thank but God. Again, it's. But if you say that to someone from the UK.
Well, it's not going to translate it because it doesn't know the word.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff that I thought was really, really cool. So, like, I like that. There was also something that I saw about that Martin was mentioning when I was talking to him about sustainability, that there does seem to be this. And you know what? The tech industry really needs to take some responsibility on this. So what they're saying is that the Galaxy S24 series is committed to sustainable design. So this series, it's using recycled materials, recycled plastic, glass, aluminium, and it features a titanium frame rather than an aluminium frame. So, you know, it makes it more sustainable, makes it stronger. And I think a lot of the time companies will use the sustainable pitch just as like green tech, here's my greenwashing badge. So I'm not going to give them the big seal of sustainable approval. However, it is good to see that, you know, they're doing something and we don't really need to talk about it because if they were actually that committed to sustainability, they're going to scream that from the rooftops. We all know that. So right now it is, I'm going to give it a tiny little green tick and go, well done. You're trying. Let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah, they had kind of the big overlay of these are our sustainability goals for, I think they said kind of, it was either 2025 or 2026. I'm only saying that because I think 2025 seems a bit too close to now. But, you know, they all looked pretty good, pretty, you know, achievable. But they obviously, when they were talking about the packaging for the S24 series, they obviously hit that big, you know, three-word buzzword, single-use plastics. They're gone. No more Samsung packaging will have single-use plastic in it, which again, it's a tiny little step. It's a tiny thing. But on the scale that they use...
Look, yeah, it's an effort. What I kind of, so this, there's three models, but what there seems to be is different colors. So yes. The S24, the Ultra, comes in titanium gray. Look, Joa, this is something I'm actually just going to kind of know that this, because it reminds me of back in the phone shop days. Do you know how many shades of black I've seen down the years on phones? It's like Onyx black. Viridian black, ghost black. It's I must have seen 40 different shades of black in the time that I, you know, just call it black.
Yep.
I'll call it red, but I do love how phone brands name their colors. So listen to this. On the S24 Ultra, we have titanium gray, we have titanium black, we have titanium violet, and we have titanium yellow.
So it's just colors, but shiny.
Shiny.
All, yeah, it's shiny. Metallic. Yeah,
and then on the S24 Plus and on the standard S24, we kind of drop the titanium side of it,
okay.
And we go onyx black, we go marble gray, cobalt violet, and amber yellow.
Cobalt violet and amber yellow; those are four distinct colors.
I don't make up the rules. I just know they do it.
Yeah.
I just know they do it.
I think on the 24 and the 24 Plus, I think it's a matte finish on the back instead of a shiny one, which immediately in my head screams fingerprint magnet.
At the same stage, I love the matte.
It's nice.
I really do. I love the matte finish, but as you said, you want to be going around with a wet wipe in your pocket all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marquez Brownlee has this, you know, matte black everything philosophy.
Yeah,
I love it. It's such a great aesthetic. But
met him briefly last year. Nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like a really cool dude. But again, just fingerprints everywhere.
Good guy. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice to get him on this? Never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Man can dream. No, but you know what? Like, I know it's only January, but unless anybody comes out with anything major, and I think there's only one brand who I think can actually maybe stump Samsung, I'm willing to say that, you know, early January 2024, that the Samsung S24 Ultra has the potential to be the phone of the year.
Yeah, could well
be. I know we're saying certain things about, you know, the styles are very similar, but in terms of what's actually under the hood, I think the S24 Ultra has potential to be the phone of the year, and the only brand that's going to potentially knock it off the shelf is the OnePlus if they come out this year and do something nuts.
Yeah, Mr. Beast wouldn't put his name to anything less, because he showed up last night, as well as Pokimane. So, yeah, I think they also tried to push this whole gaming narrative, and that's like, no one's gaming on a Samsung.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just run off some of the specs on the S24 Ultra.
Go for it.
If you want to see the specs on the S24 Plus or the standard S24, do check out the article on the website, but I'm just going to go through some of the top ranking stats. So in terms of price, we've got three models. We've got the 256 gig. That's coming in at $1,400. I think these prices are coming from Vodafone's website. Might be wrong, but anyway, don't quote me on that until I confirm. The 512 gig is going to be just shy of $1,600. And then there is a terabyte model, which, Jesus, and that's going to be $1,850. In terms of the display, we're looking at a 6.8-inch dynamic AMOLED. It's actually really light. It's only 230 grams. So, and then the camera array. Oh, dear, the camera array. Highly recommend. I think it's Adrian Weckler on his Threads account. He has a video up there where he's shown the zoom on this new phone. Holy shit.
They showed off some footage they shot at some K-pop concert, and
yeah,
phenomenal.
The zoom is nuts. So the camera array, we've got a 12 megapixel ultra wide, we've got a 200 megapixel wide, 50 megapixel telephoto, and a 10 megapixel telephoto. Like,
yeah, they have 10 times optical zoom in a phone.
Yeah, I remember when the Huawei P30 came out and they had like they were known as the zoom phone. This doubles it at the very least. Like, this is nuts. It's obviously 5G, it's obviously using Android 14, and they're saying that it's a super fast charger because the Ultra is using a 5,000 milliamp battery. And the claim is that 65% charge in 30 minutes. Like, the stat sheet speaks for itself. Like, it looks like it's got, in terms of what's under the hood, in terms of like the camera array, the weight, the size, it's a gorgeous phone. I know we're saying, oh, the style is much the same, but as we said, it's like, you know, they perfected a style. It is pretty. And the upside is, and the big upside for me is that the way contracts are 2-year contracts, you're coming from an S22 to an S24. You're not coming from an S23 to an S24, where those are marginal gains. The 2-year phone cycle, it really does mean for me, you see a nice jump model to model, unless you're an iPhone user.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I'm biased or anything.
No. Okay. And like I said earlier, I think, you know, what we're going to see at their next press conference when they, you know, hopefully give us another couple of foldables or a nice big shiny tablet. I mean, that would be the more exciting one from a hardware perspective.
Yeah.
Because God love me, I would love to be able to justify a Z Flip 5 to myself. Really would.
Yep. I think we've been having this argument back and forth in the chat for nigh on 2 years. It's like, I want a flip phone, cannot justify the money, and I'm definitely going to break it.
Yep.
Because right now it's still a gimmick, but oh, they're so pretty.
So nice. They're so nice. Pretty. If they can waterproof one, I'm there.
Oh, I'm gone.
No questions asked.
Gone. I will go out and take a loan and forego ever buying a house.
But like, that's the thing, is they're only 200 or 300 quid more than another Samsung flagship. So when you talk about it like that, would you pay 200 quid for a flip function on your current phone? I sure as hell would.
Stop it. All you're doing now is tempting me. Do you know what? Yeah, you're onto something there. It's like €200 difference over its course of a 2-year contract.
What even is that?
Negligible. It's like one less dairy milk per day.
Whoa, let's not go crazy.
Hey, I base my things in the price of chocolate. You don't look like this if we don't get
the old Fredoflation.
I'm telling you, it's a real thing.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
James yesterday, who was on the pod yesterday, he was literally like, their method when they got started was, how much money have we made this month? And they rated it in the pints of Beamish scale.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I like that. Yeah. It's like, we've got the Freddo inflation, we've got the price of the pint, we've got... We're rocking our money based on how many pints of Beamish we do. Yeah.
That is that's a dangerous way of justifying things to yourself, though. Because you said, that's only 5 pints.
My method is the dairy milk method.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So if that is going to cost me less than the dairy milk daily for 2 years, I think you might have just sold me. And I'm going to have to wrap this up before you actually convince me to go and buy a flip phone.
Yeah.
So look, on that note, we've listed out, I think, 10 of our favorite products from CES, everything ranging from wearables to some AI stuff to some phones. Samsung at Unpacked, they've launched the new S24 range, 3 separate phones, many different colors, all just different shades of black. Who knew? On that, Alex, say good luck.
Good luck.
And I'm going to say good night, goodbye, good morning, depending on when you're listening to us, watching us. This is available live on YouTube right now. We're going to have video and audio on Spotify fairly soon. And if you're ever looking to contact us, question us, we are goose_ie on literally every single social media platform, including Threads. We exist there. Mm-hmm. So reach out, ask us questions. If there's anything in tech that you want to know more about, reach out to us. And if you want to give out to me about what I don't understand about the Rabbit R1, comments on YouTube, please.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Peace, good luck, goodbye. And we'll talk to you all on the next episode next week.